Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Garage Talk Live. Yeah, welcome to Garage Talk Live.
Take another look at your vehicle on the State Farm Bank.
Sorry about that. Usually I turn it off. Anyway, where was I? Oh, yeah. August the 20th, 8:20. Everybody in action last weekend. IndyCar, ARCA, NHRA, all three NASCAR series. This week, not so much. Cup Series is off. Truck Series out at Canadian Tire Motorsport Park, and Xfinity on Saturday night, Truck Series on Sunday night, the TKEC 180 at Road America. So, Truck Series on the road course, and the Xfinity Series on the road course. Cup Series off and won't be back until a following weekend, Labor Day weekend, for the Southern 500 at Darlington. So I don't have to make a pick this week. We'll wait till next week's show. Where do we begin? Well, let's start with the Alan Crow. $100 at the Illinois State Fairgrounds. Yes, one of the dirt tracks Martha runs at. Michael Self, back in the winner's circle after a few weeks off, drives a number 25 for Venturini Motorsports. Christian Eckes, I think that's how it's pronounced. Second, Brett Holmes, third. Logan Seavey is fourth. Will Kimmel. I like his car number. 69 is fifth. Kellen Kovsky is sixth for Allgaier Motorsports. That name sounds familiar. Corey Haim is seventh. Parson Hosovar is eighth. Ryan Unzicker, ninth. That's a new name I don't see too often. And Joe Graff Jr. rounds out the top 10. Anybody else we know? Only 21 vehicles made the field. No ladies in the event today, this time. I guess Haley Deegan was out west, and Natalie Decker running truck series, so they were down. Everybody was down in Bristol this past week, and I couldn't go. But, you know, that's the way things are sometimes. Life dictates and stuff like that. Let's check the standings. Your top 10 points leader, Michael Self, has 4 wins this season. He's in first. Christian Eckes is second. Brett Holmes is third. Travis Braden, fourth. Joe Graff Jr., fifth. Tommy Vi Jr., sixth. Brad Smith, seventh. Tim Richmond, eighth, not the old Tim Richmond from back in the day. Another one. Chandler Smith, ninth, and Corey Haim rounds out the top 10. Tanner Gray hasn't done much in a while. He's decided to go stock car racing. And he's probably out at the K&N West as well. Former NHRA Pro Stock champ. Won the championship and then said, screw the straight line, I'm going oval. But hey, you win a championship in just about every series you run in, well, you know, add a feather to your hat. Tony Stewart won an IndyCar championship and a couple, 3 NASCAR championships. So, you know, it can be done. Anyway, the next race coming up will be another dirt track at the DuQuoin State Fairgrounds for the Southern Illinois 100. And both dirt tracks are in Illinois. And then I guess after that, it's September. And then only 3 races left in the ARCA season. After, well, 4 counting the Southern Illinois 100, which will be in a couple of weeks. Then you got Kentuckiana at Salem Speedway. ARCA Indy 200 at the Lucas Oil Raceway, which is where the Xfinity Series used to race before they moved to the Brickyard. And then you have the ARCA Kansas 150. And that'll be the end of the season on October 18th. Then they have their banquet mid-December in Indiana at Lucas Oil Stadium. So, ARCA getting close to the end of the season. Actually, everybody's getting close to the end of the season. Take a look at the IndyCar events. Hit the Brickyard for the ABC Supply 500. Rain shortened at Long Pond, the Tricky Triangle. Willpower. Takes the checkered flag. Scotty Dixon. Second, Simon Pagano. Third, Santino Ferrucci is fourth. Joseph Newgarden, fifth. Ed Carpenter, sixth. Sebastian Bourdais, seventh. Tony Kanaan, eighth. Graham Rahal, ninth. And Charlie Kimball rounds out the top ten. A lot of big names. Not in the top 10. Marco Andretti, 15th. Ryan Hunter-Reay, 19th. James Hinchcliffe. Contact, I guess him and Hunter-Reay got together. Oh, no, that's, they were six laps apart. The average speed was 168.771 miles an hour. Race took 1 hour, 53 minutes, 45 seconds. Under caution, 4 cautions for 23 laps. No stage confusions. 12 lead changes amongst 4 drivers. The points after the ABC 500. Newgarden, Joseph Newgarden leads the points. Simon Alexander Rossi is second. Simon Pagano is third. Scotty Dixon, fourth. Will Power, fifth. Ryan Hunter-Reay, sixth. Graham Rahal, seventh. Takuma Sato, eighth. Felix Rosenquist, ninth. And Sebastian Bourdais. Rossi and Newgarden are pretty close, 35 points apart. But I'm sure their season is going to wrap up. Let's see how many they have left in their next event. Next event will be this weekend. For the Bomarito Automotive Group 500. I'm looking at it. Three races to go. After that one, well, including that one, that'll be in Madison, Illinois, which is Gateway. So that's an oval. And then the Grand Prix of Portland on Labor Day weekend. And then they're off for 3 weeks till the Firestone Grand Prix of Monterey at Laguna Seca Raceway. That'll end the season for the IndyCar. NHRA getting close. This week they're out in Brainerd for the Lucas Oil Nationals. Let's see who got what. The finals came down to Leah Pritchett and Mike Salina. Oh, Leah hasn't done much in a bit. I guess been trying to find some things out. Let's see. Mike Salinas qualified third up against Luigi Novelli in round one. Not even close there. 0.053 off the tree to Luigi's 0.119 and a 372 to Novelli's 403. Then up against Clay Milligan in round two, 062 for Salinas, 067, 5/100, 5/1000 difference. Pretty close even off the tree, but 372 with a 9 for Salinas, 396 with a 4, 2/10 down the track. Doesn't sound like much, but it is in drag racing. And up against Doug Kalita. Kalita with an 065. The Salinas is 091. I guess Salinas a little napping after the other couple of rounds. But Salinas had a 380 and Kalita had a 406. On the other end of the spectrum, Leah Pritchett qualified fourth. Up against Kyle Wurzel, a name I haven't heard of. In round one, not even close there, 091 to a 112 off the tree. That was about as close as it got. After that, Leah with a 374, Wurzel with a 675. You know, he had problems. Then up against Billy Torrance, 056 for Leah, 376 down the track. But Billy Torrance, even though he had a 412, which would have cost him, he hit the red light with a minus 160, so disqualification there. Then this year's rookie sensation, she faces in the semis, Austin Prock. 045 for Austin, 047 for Leah. Austin with a 400, and Leah with a 372, setting the stage for the final round against Mike Salinas. In the end, it was Leah 058, Salinas 074, and then 373 for Leah, 406 for Salinas. Leah gets the Wally, her first one in a while. Low ET was Billy Torrance in the event with a 368. Best reaction time, 027. Doug Kalita, top speed. Brittany Force in round one with a 332 mile an hour, almost 332.75. So Leah takes the win. On to Funny Car. Finals came down to Ronnie Capps and Tommy Johnson Jr., a couple of teammates. They used to drive for Don Prudhomme years ago because I interviewed both of them at the Skull Bandit trailer. I think they're both running, I guess they were both either running Top Fuel or Funny Car at the time. We're talking 2005 or so. Maybe even before that. That's how long ago in the motorsports show and was up in Fort Washington, Pennsylvania. Now it's in Oaks, PA, the big convention center. But then for a while they had it at the Atlantic City Convention Center. Anyway, Hagen was your number one qualifier. Tommy Johnson Jr. was your number five qualifier. Ronnie Capps was number seven, so you were talking pretty close to even there. Johnson faced Tim Wilkerson in round one. Close off the light, but not so much down the track. 075 for Johnson, 070 for Wilkerson. A 394 with a 4 for Johnson, 451 with a 9 for Wilkerson. Then up against points leader Robert Height. Height 095, Johnson 068. 3/100 off the tree advantage for Johnson. 391 even down the track. Height 603. having traction issues there. So height stay is done. Johnson on the round three against number one qualifier, Matt Hagan. Well, it was pretty close and yet not so close. Tommy Johnson off the tree with 031. Hagan, 062. It's an exact double reaction time for Johnson. Twice as fast off the light, but down the track. 393 with a 2 for Hagan, which is good, but 393 with a 0 for Johnson. That 3/100ths offset that 2/1000ths, so it made it a bigger gap than it actually was. So that set the stage for Johnson waiting on his Ronnie Capps. I think he's your defending championship champion, if I'm not mistaken, up against J.R. Todd in round one. Todd off the tree a lot quicker, 03 to Caps's 09. The Caps with a 392 to J.R.'s 463. It was enough to overcome that slow reaction time. Then up against fast Jack Beckman, 077 for Caps. 089 for Beckman, 391 with an 8 for Caps, 394 with a 5 for Beckman, pretty close on the ET, but 3/100ths on the ET better for Caps and one in the off the tree, so you figure it out. Up against Sean Langdon. Sean Langdon, who used to be in Top Fuel, was a guest on the show when he drove for Alan Abbey. Up against Ronnie Capps. 064 with a 393 with an 8 for Capps. 076, which is pretty close, with a 437 with a 7 for Langdon. Then up against in the finals, came down to. Came down to it pretty much who got off the light first. Ronnie Capps, 055. Tommy Johnson Jr., 171. Which is big because the ET was a 394 with a 7 for Johnson and a 394 with a 6 for Capps. So you're looking at 1/1000th ET difference. Johnson had got anything better than an 055, he would have got a hole shot win on that one. But wasn't the case. Caps the winner. Low ET, fast Jack. And a 387 with a 6 in round one. Best reaction time at 031 for Tommy Johnson. And top speed, a 329.75 mile per hour. Fast Jack. On to Pro Stock. Yes, they did run Pro Stock. I think they're going to run them here on out. Jason Line against Erica Enders. Erica making it to the final round. Qualified second. I think she might be onto something here. Jason Line qualified number one. So you had your number one and number two qualifiers making it to the finals. Let's follow Erica, our pal. I haven't had her on this year. I've been trying tough to get a hold of her. started off 0-41 to Shane Tucker's 0-37, but a 6-58 with a 4 to Shane's 0-95, 9-58 with a 4. 3 whole seconds different. So it sent her in round 2 up against Chris McGahey. 0-15 for Erica, 6-58 with a 3. 0-23 with a 6-61 with a 2. Close there, but no cigar from McGahey. Erica, a whole tenth faster and a whole 100th quicker off the light. Then up against Matt Hartford, 0-29 with a 6-60 for Erica, and 0-39 with a 6-63 for Hartford. Jason Lyon, your number one qualifier, up against Wally Stroop in round 1. Stroop, 0-25. 0-56 for Line, 6-58 with a 6-71. Line with the advantage by 0.2 of a second there. Up against Alex Lachlan, 0-43 for Line. Lachlan's 0-47, almost even off the light, but Line with a consistent 6-58 to Lachlan's 6-61, moves Line up against Kramer. Not Cosmo Kramer, Derek Kramer. Jason Line, 0-71, 6-59 with a 0. But Derek Kramer had the red light at a minus 0-41, which would have been good if it was on the plus side, but 22-53, so he just coasted it down the track. Set the stage for what I'm looking at is a tight battle, and it was a tight battle. 0-16 for Line, 0-14 for Erica. A 6-60 with a 4 for Erica. A 6-59 with a 7. I mean, this was about as close as you were going to get. But Jason Line takes the win. Erica winds up second. Low ET with a 6-58 with a 3. Jason Line did it twice. That's reaction time. Erica Enders, 0-1-4. Chris McGahey, top speed at 209. Did we have bikes? Usually if we have pro stock, we might have bikes. No bikes. Bikes off. ProMod. No ProMod. Next event should be the U.S. Nationals, which will be at Indianapolis. The Chevrolet Performance at Lucas Oil Raceway, which is going to be this coming weekend. And I think they usually run the finals on actual Labor Day, which will be the end of the NHRA regular season. Countdown to the championship will begin at Maple Grove Raceway in Pennsylvania, out near Reading, Monton, PA. I'm sure a lot of people have been there. Bikes will be back next week. Pro stock will be in, and then everybody will be racing in the countdown. 6 events, all reseeded. Decide the points. Let's see who is where. Steve Torrance, Brittany Forrest, Doug Kalita, Clay Milliken. I'm reading them in order of a finish or standings. Antron Brown, Mike Salinas, and Leah Pritchett. I've already locked in. They're your top 7. Austin Prock, Richie Crampton, and Terry McMillan have not. This weekend should decide it. Here's the close one, the bubble. 7-point difference between Terry McMillan and Scotty Palmer. So that could switch. I think 8 and 9 will lock in. I'm surprised they haven't already. But there's still a mathematical chance that McMillan can catch Crampton, and Crampton can catch Proc. I mean, you're at 80 points between Crampton and McMillan in 9th and 10th. So it'd have to be a one-sided event. McMillan would have to go all the way to the finals, and Crampton would have to bow out in the first round, which would still put Crampton, I'd say, a 10-point margin over McMillan in 10th. But Scotty Palmer and Terry McMillan are the ones that could bounce around. So that's where there's your lineup right there off the funny car. Robert Height, he pretty much has the top spot locked up. He's got a 179-point lead over Tommy Johnson Jr. John Force is third. There's 20 points difference there. Ronnie Capps, fourth. Jack Beckman, fifth. Matt Hagen, sixth. Bob Tasca, seventh. J.R. Todd, eighth. Sean Langdon, ninth. And Tim Wilkerson has not locked in. He has a almost a 200-point lead over Cruz Pedregon, so I don't know why they didn't just lock him in. That's not going to change in a day. But that's the way they got it there. Not even close on the bubble for them to swap out, though. Looks like Wilkerson is in and Pedregon is not. Pro Stock, here's where it gets interesting. Bo Butner leads the points. Do they have some close battle between Greg Anderson in second, Alex Lachlan in third? There's a 72-point gap between first and second, and then a 8-point gap between second and third, and 80-point gap between first and third. So Jason Lyon is fourth. He's locked in. Matt Hartford is fifth. Derek Kramer, sixth. Erica is seventh. Jed Coughlin, eighth. Chris McGahey, ninth. And then Kenny Delco on the bubble. 3-point lead over Fernando Cuadra. So they're... Now, that's a legitimate reason for not locking Kenny Delco in. 3 points. That's a big difference. So, and then in Pro Stock Bike, they didn't run this week, so Hines leads Krawick by 197 points, but that all changes after next week when they reseed them. Matt Smith is third. Hector Arada Jr. is fourth. They are locked in. Everybody else from fifth through tenth is not, which is Karen Stouffer, Angie Smith in sixth, Ryan Oler seventh, Hector Sr. in eighth, Angel Sampe in ninth, and Jerry Savoy in tenth. And the closest one in 11th is Scotty Polacek, and he's about 38 points behind Savoy. So, I don't know if that could change everything else. Well, there is a tight gap between Angie Smith and Savoy. Smith in 6th, Savoy in 10th. So, that's, I'm looking at 40 points there. So there's a lot of shuffling could be, but hard to see if that changes there. We'll find out in 2 weeks after the U.S. Nationals. So the NHRA is off this week. IndyCar is off this coming week. ARCA is on. Cup is off. trucks in Xfinity are on, so it's going to be a light day racing till Labor Day weekend when everything kicks back for the stuff going on there. On to NASCAR. Truck Series at Bristol. I think K&N East also was at Bristol. I think they pulled a doubleheader on Thursday, and I think one was Wednesday. I don't know. Let me check the K&N. Oh, what did I do there? Pro Series East at Bristol. They'll be out of Gateway next. But I know Kelly Deegan was in that one. Where's the results? Give me some results. There we go. For the Busch Beans 150, which, yeah, Thursday. Let's see where our girl Haley finished out. Sam Mayer took the checkered flag. Ty Gibbs. Was second. Ruben Garcia, third. Mason Diaz, fourth. Spencer Davis, fifth. Tanner Gray, there he is. David Gilliland is his car owner. Go figure. Max McLaughlin is seventh. Chase Cabre is eighth. Haley Deegan, ninth. Joe Graff Jr., he was just at the ARCA race, so as well, round out the top 10 rookie drivers with an asterisk. Haley don't have a rookie star. Oh, maybe because I don't know. Maybe she was being in Canaan. I wonder how she liked that one. But they only have three races left this weekend at Gateway, 21st of September at Loudoun, then the Monster Mile, October the 4th, Friday. I used to love going there. That'll be their 100th cup race on that weekend. So, had to have credential request in. I think I missed it. Which kind of stinks because Grand Funk Railroad will be performing in the Fan Zone stage. But anyway, Thursday night after or before the K&N Pro East race, the trucks were on, and Brett Moffitt started from the pole, took the checkered flag as well, led five times for 65 laps. And six playoff points because he only won stage two. Chandler Smith was second. Ross Chastain was third. He led one stage one, led four times for 78 laps, and only got one playoff point. Stuart Friesen was fourth. Grant Enfinger was fifth. And he led once for 57 laps. So there is most of your laps led by three guys. Actually, all of your laps led by three guys. Sheldon Creed was sixth. Matt Crafton, seventh. Ben Rhodes was eighth. Ninth, Todd Gilliland. And Austin Hill rounds out the top 10. He won the race last week. And there's your playoff contenders. Brett Moffitt, Ross Chastain, Friesen, Enfinger, Crafton, Hill, and Sauter. And Tyler Ankrum, who won a race, so he's down there in 20th spot. Everybody else, not so lucky. Natalie Decker finished 25th. Jennifer Jo Cobb, who started 31st, finished 22nd. Angela Ruck in the race, which used to be Angela Cope, gets a twin sister Amber. She was 30th in the Ruck Life Chevrolet, using her own TV show to sponsor her trucks. Not bad. 9 lead changes amongst 3 drivers. 12 cautions for 73 laps. One hour, 36 minutes, 65.98 mile an hour average speed, margin of victory, 0.74 seconds. With the win, it was Moffitt's 10th victory in 50 Truck Series races, his 3rd and 12th top 10 this year, and his 1st victory at Bristol, the world's fastest half mile. Let's see the points. Brett Moffitt leads the points with three wins, so he's in the top seed there. Ross Chastain is 2nd with 3 wins. There's only 16 points difference there, so that can be caught. Playoff points, though, Moffitt has 28 and Chastain only has 13. Stuart Friesen with 1 win is 3rd, and Finger with no wins is 4th. Crafton is 5th. He doesn't have any wins this year. Johnny Sauter is 6th. He has 1 win. Austin Hill has 2 wins. He's 7th. When they reseed, he'll be bumped up. And the 8th spot, Tyler Ankrum with 1 win, so the guys that'll bounce down are Enfinger, Crafton, Ben Rhodes, and then you'll get a shuffle because Austin Hill will jump ahead of Stuart Friesen with 1 extra win. But we're not there yet. So they still got time to even that out in the playoffs. Let's hear from our winner, Brett Moffitt, with his crew chief and team representative, Keith Barnwell.
All right. We're going to roll into our post-race celebration here with our winning team and tonight's UNOH 200 here at Bristol Motor Speedway. We've been joined by our race-winning team, driver Brett Moffitt, crew chief Jerry Baxter, and team representative Keith Barnwell. This is Brett's 3rd victory this season, and also his 1st victory at Speedway. We'll take questions for Brett, Jerry, and Keith. If you have one, please raise your hand, and we'll get started with Jacob.
Biggest gentleman speaks for 2. First, Brett, I know defending champion, there it comes a little bit with the label, but is this a statement victory for you guys tonight, basically, you know, shot to the rest of the field that the title run goes through you guys?
I mean, it's not really about making statements, it's about winning races, and that speaks for itself. So we've had a lot of fast Chevy Silverados this year, and things just haven't played out. I thought almost for damn sure we were going to win Michigan last week, and Crafting it going on the restart, and it cost us. But I guess you can call it a statement or whatever, but we're just executing the race fully, and we have fast trucks, and we're just doing everything right night, and that's what we need to do, continue it into the playoffs. But it's a huge weight lifted off our shoulders, that's for damn sure, and We'll go to the next two, try to win them, get as many playoff points possible, and then focus on the round of six.
When you ended up mired there a little bit, starting the final stage, I mean, were you guys pretty sure that the guys who stayed out would eventually fade back and the strategy would work out, or were you a little nervous there in traffic for a while?
It's with the PGA one down, it's so hard to pass that when it's on the bottom, it's going to be tough no matter what. If they have a decent truck, it's obviously if they're really, really bad, you'd be able to pass them. But if they're decent with PGA one, it's just like the throttle is just like a light switch. You're either on it or off it 100%. And it makes it really hard to pass on the bottom. You know, like when I passed Chastain, it was because of lap cars and I jumped to the top, which we were pretty good through the top, but it still wouldn't compare to clean air on the bottom. And so when we fired off, I was confident. And then that next yellow, it just didn't come back like it was previously. I don't know if I just didn't clean the tires enough or kept too much temperature in them and didn't let them cool down. But then after that, it seemed to fire off a hell of a lot better. So I don't know. You're never confident until you get the win. So fortunately, everything worked out.
Additional question? Come on.
There you have Brett Mopp. Come on. It's tough. I have one question. When I've been in these press conferences, and usually if there isn't anybody asking any other questions besides me, I'll ask some more. But that's not how it works here. Anyway, on to Xfinity. Friday night. Same thing, the annual Food City 300. Tyler Reddick, three times for 19 laps, takes the win. Did not win a stage. Your stage winners didn't do so well. So, came down to the race winner and playoff contender. So, Chase Briscoe finished second. John Hunter Nemechek, third. Jeremy Clements, good run for Jeremy. And fourth, Austin Cindric is fifth. Ray Goulding, sixth. Timmy Hill, seventh. Justin Allgaier, eighth. Michael Annette, ninth. And Landon Castle rounds out the top 10. The sponsor's Flex Seal. See all the commercials for that. I wonder if it works as good as they say. Anyway, your stage winners were, stage one winner was Brandon Jones, who wound up 11th, and Kyle Busch, who was 29th, engine let go. Kyle might have won that race. He led twice for 137 of the 300 laps, and Justin Allgaier led twice for 131 of 300 laps. But there's 268 laps. And then Tyler Reddick led three times for 19. He was your only double-digit winner, and Allgaier and Kyle Busch were triple-digit leaders. I mean, not winner, leaders. Reddick was the winner leading double digits, but everybody else was one here, six there, and five there. Race took an hour, 58 minutes, 1 second. Average speed, 81.294. Pretty close, 0.65 seconds, three quarters of a second from first to second. So lead changes were 7 leaders, 11 lead changes. But like I said, 4 of those were single digits, 9 cautions for 59 laps. 2 of the stage incident red flag for 4 minutes and 40 seconds for the number 90. Who is the number 90? Lonnie Bassett Jr. must have made a hell of a mess. It was, with the win, it was Tyler Reddick's 7th in 73 Xfinity races, and his 4th victory in 19th top 10 this year. And he's got his first victory at Bristol, so he could add that track to his list of accomplishments. The points after Bristol, Tyler Reddick with 4 wins. Is in first, but right behind him is Christopher Bell in second and Cole Custer in third, both with 5 wins. So seeding-wise, Tyler Reddick doesn't win another race, they'll bounce ahead of him. In the playoffs, that can change. Justin Allgaier, 4th, no wins. Austin Cindric, 2 wins. In 5th, Chase Briscoe in 6th, 1 win. Noah Gragson in 7th, 1 no wins, but he's a rookie. Also with Briscoe. Michael Annette, 1 win in 8th. Justin Haley, no wins in 9th. John Hunter Nemechek in 10th. Brandon Jones, 11th. And Ryan Sieg in 12th. None of those have wins. And doesn't look like Gray Golding or Jeremy Clements will catch Ryan Sieg in 12th. There is a 97-point difference between 12th and 13th, though. And then Jeremy Clements is another 40 behind that. Let's hear what Tyler Reddick and his team have to say about the win. That's Reddick, crew chief Randall Barrett, and car owner Richard Childress.
Well, since the winner of tonight's 38th annual Food City 300 does not want an ice cream, we will go ahead and roll into our winner's press conference. We're joined by the race-winning driver, Tyler Reddick, of the number 2 Tame the Beast Chevrolet for Richard Childress Racing. We will open the floor up for questions. If you have a question for Tyler, please raise your hand. We'll get a wireless mic to you. We will start here at Jacob.
Jacob Zielman, Speed Sports. I'll take 2 and start with the obvious. Have you ever been a part of a finish quite as topsy-turvy crazy as what we just watched?
A few. I feel like Talladega, for me, this year is right up there with that. To have when I felt like not necessarily down and out, but it was going to be really hard to get back to the lead, and then just everything happened the way it did. It was really crazy. So I was really happy to see it go that way. I feel like we almost took ourselves out of it. We didn't have a lot of time to make an adjustment when the caution came out. Something Randall had told me, like, just be ready, you got to be quick, and didn't really communicate to the best of my ability what we needed to work on and what we needed to do. And I think, you know, after we got tires, our car was just too tight, so I was worried that I cost ourselves the race. So for it to come back to us was nice and makes me look a lot better than I think it should.
You made the comment on the front stretch that you wanted to race all those guys that fell out before you got back to the lead. All of the guys you didn't get to race with or, you know, raced earlier in the night, who did you think was going to be your toughest competition had they been able to stay in it?
Well, for most of it, I couldn't really see what was going on, but it seemed like 7 could really battle the 18 early on very well. So, you know, until he had his issue there, you know, I felt like Press would be a little bit better than he was. I mean, I think we would have been one of those top cars up there if I had not spun at the end of stage 1 and try to wreck our race car. So first to go to the back and then try one more time to get back to the front was, you know, I wouldn't say annoying, but, you know, we could have been starting up further. We could have got some stage points and all those things and took that away from us. So I was really happy that we were able to redeem ourselves a little bit and close the night out with a win.
We are also now joined by team owner Richard Childress, crew chief Randall Burnett. If you have additional questions, please raise your hand. We'll get wireless microphones to you. We'll go over here to Zach.
Zach Albert, NASCAR.com. For Richard and Randall, either one of you guys can take this. It just seemed like for everything that happened, especially early on, the mood on the radio, you guys never got rattled. Everything was really loose. Is that just kind of a characteristic of this team? And have you ever had a team that's been kind of just, you know, no pressure about it?
Yeah, I was. I'm always impressed with Randall and Tyler here. They're no matter what, they're always on a high note. And tonight, you know, we had a couple of hiccups, and nobody ever panicked. You know, and I think that's a sign of a championship team.
I don't know. You were giving him trouble before the race, but he had all the confidence in the world of me, and you weren't sure about him. So I think
I did get a little testy early.
It was a not so great start to the day.
I feel like we were trying to get us a get out of jail free card with Richard on Monday.
Yeah,
I did.
No, to add on to what Richard said, you know, I think a lot of that feeds off of, you know, everybody on our team's relationship with Tyler. We've all gotten really close, and we'll have a good time together. And you know, there's a lot of high-pressure situations, and everybody knows it. And you know, the best way to handle it is to laugh about it and try to handle it as best you can. And so that's what we did. You know, we obviously buried ourselves early, you know, for the race. And being a short track and have to do a pass-through and all that, that's a pretty big deal. So, you know, we were really fortunate all night long. Like, the brakes just kind of came our way. You know, like, so for us to get back up there and you know, challenge for the win and all that, that's a big testament to this team and everybody that works hard on it.
There you have the top three individuals in the organization. On to the main event of the weekend. The Cup Series. It came down to a close race between Denny Hamlin and Matt DiBenedetto, but in the end, Denny Hamlin prevailed. He was started from the pole, got past Matt DiBenedetto, who for some reason had been running, not only running good this year, but runs really well at Bristol. Was close to his first ever win, which would have been nice. And from what I can see, yes. Led the most laps. He led one time for 93 laps. Denny Hamlin led four times for 79 laps. So Hamlin taking the checkered flag. DiBenedetto, who qualified seventh, which was also pretty good. Second, Brad Keselowski, third. Kyle Busch was fourth. Chase Elliott, fifth. Kyle Larson, sixth. Clint Bowyer, seventh. Eighth, Daniel Suarez. Ninth, Kurt Busch. I think I picked Kurt to win. He started fourth, so he had a good run. Ryan Blaney rounds out the top 10. Race took 2 hours, 49 minutes. Yes, it went regulation. Average speed, 94.5 miles an hour. Margin of victory, half a second. 23 lead changes amongst 10 drivers. Said leading the most laps was Matt DiBenedetto. Greg Keselowski led six times for 91. He was the second most laps leader. I think everybody led multiple double-digit laps, with the Eric Jones leading once for 23 and out of your 10 leaders was a good bit. Only Kurt Busch was the only one not in double digits. He led once for 9 laps. 8 cautions for 61 laps. 2 stage conclusions are without incident. The other ones had incidents at one of the conclusions. So it was Hamlin's 35th victory in 494 Monster Energy Cup Series. And it's his 4th victory and 16th top 10 this year, and his 2nd victory at Bristol. It was Matt DiBenedetto's 2nd top 10 finish in 10 races at Bristol. And it's 5th top 10 this year. So he's knocking at the door there. So it's pretty interesting there. Now, here's where it really gets interesting. Kyle Busch has overtaken Joey Logano from the points lead. See, just for grins and giggles, where did Logano finish? And that'll tell you why. I'm not seeing up a 16th. Kyle Busch was fourth, so that's why Kyle Busch overtook Joey Logano. But there's only 39 points difference, so that was coming soon. And Logano only has 2 wins. Kyle Busch is fourth, so he's the top seed as of now. Denny Hamlin is third with 4 wins. Martin Truex is fourth with 4 wins. So they kind of bumped, Hamlin kind of bumped Truex down. Kevin Harvick is fifth with 2 wins. Brad Keselowski sixth with 3. Chase Elliott seventh. Kurt Busch eighth. Elliott has 2 wins. Kurt Busch has 1 win. Ryan Blaney is ninth with no wins. Alex Bowman, 10th. No wins. And then Kyle Larson, William Byron, which is 11th, 12th. Amarola, 13th. Eric Jones, 14th. Newman, 15th. And Daniel Suarez is 16th. He got ahead of Clint Bowyer, but has a 2-point lead over Bowyer on the bubble there. So then Jimmy Johnson, 18th, 24 points back of the bubble. Not Jimmy Johnson like. And then Justin Haley, the only one there with a win that's not running for the playoffs, so he don't qualify. But there's your top 16. Playoff contenders. Let's get to the winner. Just about at the end of the show here. I said I don't have to make a pick, so here's Hamlin, Chris Gabehart, and Joe Gibbs.
Well, if I can have your attention here in the media center, we will go ahead and start with our post-race media availability, and we are joined by race-winning crew chief and race-winning car owner tonight at the number 11 FedEx Freight Toyota for Joe Gibbs Racing. We have team owner Joe Gibbs and crew chief Chris Gabehart. We will open the floor for questions. Please raise your hand. We will get a wireless microphone to you. We will start with Jerry and then go to Jacob.
Jerry Jordan, KinghamTires.net. Before the races, y'all were rolling off pit road. Denny had a lot of smoke coming out of the exhaust. Was that any concern or did you even...
Yeah, I checked off on that because they ought to separate the winner from the crews. But anyway, hope you enjoyed today's show. No picks this week. It'll be a late week next week. Maybe we'll try to get, I don't know who we're going to try to get. I'm going to try to get somebody. I see where Boris said is teaming up with Burton Racing for Road America at Trans Am. The one they're running at. Is that this weekend? Yep. They're teaming up for this weekend. If I'd have known that yesterday, I would have tried to get him on, but talked to his PR rep. Well, the team PR rep. So, must have been a deal just thing. Anyway, that's our show for today. Hope you all enjoyed it. I'm your host, Vinny B. We'll see you all next week. Good day and good racing. Bye now.